Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Excuse me, the book of John. Book of John, chapter 20. Please pick up your phones, check in to Facebook. Let the world know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior on this Resurrection Sunday at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church here in Savannah, Georgia. Not one amen. Amen? Now look, hey, listen, now's not the time to take a nap. Time to take a nap is after you eat the dinner that's in the oven. All right? And if y'all don't pay, this is going to be an interactive. This is going to be like Wednesday night service. This is going to be an interactive service. There's going to be a question close to the end, and you better be paying attention. Don't be sleeping, because you're going to get talked about, all right? Don't be sleeping, because I'm going to ask a question, and you're going to have to give a response. And the response, if you're sitting down, your mom or your dad or somebody you're sitting next to might be, oh, my heavens. All right, so you need to pay attention. Everybody with me? Everybody with me? Amen. Good, good, good. The last few weeks, we've been looking closely at the events that led up to the death of Jesus. Last week, we looked at the last Passover supper before he died. We saw that Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. He knew every sordid detail of the beatings, the spit in his face, and the crucifixion to come. We also saw that Jesus made a new covenant with his believers as to when they ate the bread and drank the drink of the cup, to do so in remembrance of him. We saw that Jesus blessed and gave thanks for what was about to take place and what was to happen to him. His followers had no clue about what was about to happen to Jesus, but Jesus, having full knowledge of what was going to take place, blessed and gave thanks for what was going to happen. Today, as we stand on resurrection ground, I want you to know and I want you to see that there are three types of believers. There were three types of believers there that day. The day when the stone was rolled away. The day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords disappeared from the grave clothes. That day, there were three types of believers. This morning, here in this church service, I want you to realize that just as there were three types of believers there that day, there are three types of believers here this day. And the thing is, the same three types of believers that were there the day the stone was rolled away, mark the same types of people that were there that day are here today. Same three types. Now what I want you to do this morning is figure out which type you are. Because you're going to fall into one of the three categories, one of the three types. You are most definitely 100% one of the three types that I'm going to be talking about this morning. So let's look at John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, which was who? Who was the other disciple? John, that's right. John always talked about himself in third person. The one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Every time I read this, I have to make this point. I don't know why John had to tell of the world. He had to record to the world that he was a faster runner than Peter. But here it is in the Bible recorded that John was a faster runner than Peter. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was lying with the linen clothes, but was not lying with the clothes, but was folded up on a separate place by itself. Now, years ago, I think the third year here, I showed you that according to Jewish tradition, when you weren't done, you folded the napkin, you set it beside the plate, telling the servant behind you, "Listen, don't you take my plate away because I am coming back." That's right. So here it is again. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb and saw and believed. He saw and believed. for they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. And as she was crying, she stopped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one on the head and the other at the feet where Jesus' body had been laying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" "Supposing he was a gardener," she replied, "Sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not ascended to the Father. But go to your brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. Let us pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness right now of our sins, asking you to shake us, to wake us, God. I pray that there won't be any moving around. We would hold ourselves, Lord. Help us to listen, be attentive to your word, not because of who's preaching it, but God, who delivered the message to me that I might deliver the message to this congregation. God, I pray that you would honor this message, not because of me, but because of you. Lord, I pray that your name would be made known great amongst the nations, because you are great amongst the nations. Lord, we need you right now, so still our hearts and help us to listen to your word. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Now please understand that this day, just like the day of Jesus' death, should not have been a surprise to any of his followers. This should not have been a surprise. He had told them of his resurrection many times. But let's just read in Matthew chapter 20 what Jesus had just said. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus says this. Matthew 20, and let me find it. Where are you? Matthew 20, verse 17, Jesus says this. While going up to Jerusalem, Jesus took the 12 disciples aside privately and said to them on the way, "Listen." Do you see the punctuation mark after the word "listen"? What is that punctuation mark? Remember, this is interactive, so y'all can tell me. It's an exclamation mark. Jesus was emphatic here. He wanted them to understand. He says, "Listen, listen." He's shouting, "Listen. We are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. And he will be resurrected on the third day." Mark, did Jesus tell them? This wasn't the first time, but this was the first time in Scripture that Jesus tells them the form of death that he is going to face. And this is a new form of death, this crucifixion. He says, "I am going to be crucified." But Brother Frank, he goes on and says, "Listen, but I'm not going to stay in the grave. I'm not going to stay in the grave. On the third day, I am going to rise from the grave." Now, as we just read this account in the book of John of the resurrection, when the stone was rolled away, are there many indicators there, Brother Jim, that they understood what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 20? No. It's like Jesus spoke, and they were looking at him, and they were paying attention, but they weren't listening. Boy, doesn't that describe the people of the world today? Doesn't it? People, listen, children who were raised in the church, they were raised in the church, and it's like, you know, the Word of God penetrated, but Corey, it's like they're living a life like they weren't listening to what God was saying. It's like, I appreciate all that Jesus stuff, but I'm going to live the way I want to live. Listen, there's only one way to live, and that's the way the Word of God says live. If you're living any other way, it's contrary to the Word of God. Well, that's your opinion. No, I don't have an opinion.
The Word of God is my opinion. I either stand with the Word of God or I'm against God. I am His enemy if I don't stand with His Word. Amen? Now, did you notice that Jesus did not tell the 12, don't tell anybody else? It doesn't say that in Matthew. Tony, he doesn't say, now listen, boys, this is a secret. Now, he pulled them away privately, but he didn't say, listen, don't tell anybody else. He didn't tell them to keep it a secret. For some strange reason, the apostles could not process the fact that Jesus was going to die. And they surely could not grasp that once he was dead, he was going to raise from the dead on the third day. They just couldn't understand it. Church, if anyone else would have told me the story but Jesus, I'd have a hard time of believing. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't believe what they were telling me. Now, understand this. These same followers had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and he had been dead for 4 days. There were three different types of believers there that day that Jesus came out of the grave. Again, just as there are three types of believers here this morning. I get it. The day the stone was rolled away, Mr. White, there were three different types of believers. Fast forward to today. Today is April the 16th. Is that right? April the 16th. Even Karen knew. She was shaking her head. April the 16th, 2017, in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, listen, in Ogeechee Farms, there are three types of believers here this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. This church that God put here for a reason. Amen? Believer number one. These believers are believers who refuse to believe. They refuse to believe. Oh, Brother Cal, that's not really a believer. Oh, yeah. They're going to be believers, but they refused to believe. Well, Brother Cal, explain that to me. Now, please know that there was a group of people who were great with great anticipation for the third day. This group, they were in great anticipation for the third day after Jesus' death came around. They had heard Jesus make mention of destroying this temple, and he would build it up in 3 days. This group of people had gone to great lengths to make sure that Jesus was dead and that he stayed dead in the grave. Well, Brother Kyle, show me in Scripture. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. Matthew 27, verse 62. It says, the next day, which followed the preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees, yep, the Pharisees, there it was, but my Wednesday night crowd, y'all knew I was going here, didn't you? These guys had bullied Jesus, they had badgered Jesus, and if you come on Wednesday night, you'll see right now in our study, they are questioning Jesus, and they're asking silly questions. They're asking questions about marriage, they're asking questions about resurrection, they're asking all kinds of questions, trying to trap Jesus in his words. So these Pharisees, these chief priests, had gathered before Pilate, and they said, sir, we remember that while this deceiver, Jesus they're talking about, was still alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore give orders that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come, steal him, and tell people he has been raised from the dead. Then the last deception will be worse than the first. You have a guard of soldiers, Pilate told him. Go and make it as secure as you know how. Then they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone with a Roman seal and setting a guard before it. Now, church, these men, these priests, these Pharisees, these Herodians, these men had every reason to believe. As they had prophetical proof that Jesus was their Messiah, they had over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled through this man named Jesus. Over 300. Listen, how much more did they need to know? I could ask you that very same question. How much more do you need to know about Jesus before you believe? How much more do you have to see? How many more miracles do you have to see before you believe in Jesus? They had over 300 prophecies fulfilled to prove that Jesus was their Messiah, but that wasn't all. They had physical proof that Jesus was their Messiah through the miracles that he performed. And they had spiritual proof from the earliest age of 12 when Jesus spent several days in the temple complex asking and answering questions. Now, church, God and Jesus, the Son of God, gave these men every chance, every opportunity to turn from their ways and accept him as their Messiah. But they refused because they had too much to lose. Well, I'm not going to give up my way of life to accept Jesus. Listen, without Jesus, you have no life. You have no life. It's like you're trapped in a coffin. You're trapped in a container buried underground. And you have life right now, but your life is fleeting. It's running out. And when your life is gone, your life is gone. You have no more life. Without Jesus, you have no air. Church, listen. On this day, these men were most likely behind closed doors at the temple making repairs from the earthquake that happened when Jesus died on the cross. They were watching and waiting to hear word of what would become of Jesus on the third day. They were pacing the floor. You know, he said it. I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. I don't believe that he was a prophet. I don't believe he was the Son of God. This is what they're saying, not me. I don't believe he was that. But do you know, I was sitting here thinking last night, because tomorrow's the third day, and I didn't like this guy named Jesus, but everything he said came true. Everything he said he was going to do, he did. And every time he said he wasn't going to do something, he didn't do it. You know, we can say a lot of things about this man named Jesus, but one thing we can't say is he wasn't a man of his word. We need more men of their word today, don't we? Jesus said he was going to come out the third day. These guys were pacing the floor. Andy, they were pacing the floor, wondering what he was going to do, what he was going to pull out of his hat next. Church, do you understand that there are people just like these pig-headed Jewish authorities here today with us this morning? You are right here with us, and you may even have a copy of the written Word of God open in your lap, yet you still will not believe that Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will always be our one and only Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus is the light, the bread of life. He is the way. The book of Revelation tells us that Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and all who enter in will have eternal life. Let me ask you something, person who refuses to believe in Jesus. What more is he going to have to do to prove to you that he is who he says he is? How much more? How much more? Listen, I've used this explanation and this illustration a million times, but it's the greatest one I can give. Here earlier this morning, we had two beautiful little babies presented to the church. Two beautiful. Did y'all see the beautiful little babies? Their heart started beating in their mother's womb between day 18 and 22. Between day 18 and 22, Brother Frank, their heart started beating. I asked a cardiologist one time, for those of you who were, you know, strong Georgia supporters, Jesse, that's a cardiologist, that's a heart doctor. Okay? I asked a cardiologist one time, what is it in a woman's body that is capable of starting that baby's heart? Because it has to have a magnetic, electric discharge to start that heart. It has to. If I fell right here on the floor, you could give me chest compressions, Corey, and I know you would because you love me, brother. I know you would. You could give me chest compressions until the paramedics got here, but to start my heart again, you would have to give me an electric discharge. Brother, hey, Brother Jim, I'd have to, you know, one of those. Y'all, and start my heart. You could not start my heart. There's nothing you could do to start my heart. Listen, do you know what started that baby's heart? Do you know what, Cody, where's Cody? Cody, where's Cody? Is he gone? Hey, Cody. Do you know what started your little baby's heart? Taylor, you know what started your little baby's heart? There's nothing in you that started it. That cardiologist looked at me and he said, Mr. Waddell, apart from the hand of God, there is nothing in a woman's body that can start that baby's heart. Nothing apart from the hand of God. Listen, you who are here this morning and you refuse to believe in Jesus, what more are you going to have to see? How much more evidence are you going to have to see? Romans chapter 1, verse 20, God says He reveals Himself through His creation every single day. How much more are you going to have to see before you believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God? Church, on this day, there were most definitely those who refused to believe. Now, can I tell you that they're believers now? Hey, Brother Ricky, on that day, they weren't believers, and they refused to believe. Hey, listen, I'm not going to lose my position. I'm not going to lose my possession. I'm not going to give up. I like the culture of the world that day. I'm not going to give up what the culture is. I'm going to stand with the world. Listen, they refused to believe, but today they are 100%, 150%, 200%, 500% believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen, the only difference is they're in hell. Brother Kyle, there's believers in hell. Every person who is in hell is a believer in Jesus Christ. The only problem is they believe too late. They believe too late. Listen, Scripture dictates, this isn't my opinion, Scripture dictates, if you do not believe in Jesus while you are alive, you're not going to have the opportunity when you're dead. Can you imagine these guys surprised who refused to believe in Jesus when he was when they were alive? They took their last breath, Dan, and they took their first breath, and they opened their eyes. Scripture says every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. So everybody's going to heaven because Jesus ain't going back to hell for you. He's already been once. He's not going again. He doesn't have to. So that means you're going to stand before Him. One of the worst things about hell is you're going to recall what heaven looked like, what Jesus looked like. And when they died, those who refused to believe Him on this day, you know what their first words were? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What are you doing here? I didn't believe in you. I didn't serve you. I didn't worship you. I didn't live for you. Hey, listen, that's what you were created to do. Every single person who has eyes on me, and if you got your eyes closed, you too. Hey, listen, every person who was ever created, God created you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him. That's why you're alive. That's why He created you. And if you're not doing that, I bet you are a miserable person because you've never met the expectations that God has for you. They refused to believe. Now, there was another type of people who were there that day. Those who refused to believe, but there were also doubters there that day. Now, this was their motto. Everybody has a motto. Our church motto here is, we love our church, and so would you. That's exactly right. Now, these doubters had a motto. Their motto was this: seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Now, I want to go ahead and caution you here this morning. I'm getting ready to get to that interactive point, so if somebody's asleep next to you who loves Jesus and is truly saved, you might want to, you know, kind of give them a little wake, listen, because you'll get here in a second. Now, these seeing and believing believers, these doubters, we all know the story of the most famous doubter. What was his name? Huh? Thomas. And we look at Thomas sometimes with scorn. I mean, like, you know, Thomas, how in the world? I mean, you walked with Jesus for 3 years. You saw everything He did. And listen, you doubted Him. You doubted Him. We see the big doubt in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29. Thomas was a notorious doubter. This wasn't the first time Thomas had doubted Jesus, but hopefully it would be most definitely the last time he'd be doubting. Church, I want to contend with you that I'm quite sure that Thomas was not the only doubter standing in the crowd on resurrection morning. I really don't think he was the only doubter there. As a matter of fact, I want to go ahead and tell you that most every single person, if not every single person in this room this morning, can be categorized as a doubter. You were a doubter. You were a doubter in Jesus. You were. At some point, you were a doubter. Hey, listen, I'm not raising my hand, but I was a doubter. I was. I was one of those people who said, listen, I've got to see something. I was pharisaical. I wanted to see proof that Jesus was who he said he was. I wanted to see actual evidence that this Jesus that my grandmother prayed to and prayed for, you know, for me, he was alive. He was the real deal. I was a doubter. I'm quite confident that when Mary ran back to the tomb, as the scripture we just read said, after seeing Jesus, that many who heard her story, many of them, listen, Brother White, I bet many of them rolled their eyes when she said, I just saw Jesus. Look, Mary, come on. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been your pastor for 5 years, and we got some professional eye rollers in this church. Y'all could win some serious competition rolling eyes. And that's not a good thing. That is not a spiritual attribute. But they rolled their eyes. Now, listen, they may not have said the things that old Doubting Thomas said, but they were thinking the very same thing. Thomas said this, I will believe when I see the nail marks in his hands and I can put my hand in his side. And until that day, I will not believe. Now, I'm getting real close. Y'all wake up. I'm seeing some of y'all are doing this right here. All right, listen, that boy didn't get home till 7:30 and he's still awake this morning. Y'all, he's doing good. Y'all with me? Just about done. Y'all hold on. The difference between the doubters and those who refused to believe is that all the doubters needed to see was evidence of the risen Savior. Doubters, they already had it in their mind, Brother Holman. I'm not believing in that Jesus. I'm not changing. You wish you were when you take your first breath in hell. You really will. Well, I don't believe in hell. That don't mean you aren't going. Brother Kyle, you ought not talk about hell in church. Listen, there's enough lacy-jawed preachers who aren't preaching about hell. If Jesus preached about hell, the preacher of God ought to be preaching about hell. Listen, the doubters, all they needed to see was evidence of a risen Savior. If only they could just see proof of Jesus being alive. Church, there are doubters here this morning, just as there were on Resurrection Sunday. And all these people need to see, all these people who refuse to see, all they need to see is proof of the risen Savior to believe. All they need to see is that Jesus is alive. Hey, listen, those of you who refuse to believe in Jesus, listen to me, look at me. If you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, please look at me this morning. Please look at me this morning. Listen, doubter, refuser, I am living proof that Jesus is alive. Now listen, as a matter of fact, here it is. Y'all ready? If you are living proof that Jesus is alive, if he radically changed your life, please stand up this morning. Hey, doubter. Hey, refuser to believe in Jesus Christ. Look around you. Look around you. Here's the proof that you've been asking for. Jesus is alive. Have a seat. Now, there was another type of believer there that day. There were those who refused to believe, and there were those, Bill, that they needed to see to believe. That was all of us. Hey, listen, I wanted to see a real Christian. Brother Frank, I'd heard people say, yes, I'm a Christian. You'd see them getting to church. They'd get in the car on Sunday morning, and they'd have their Bible, and some of them would have the embroidered Bible case. When I started going to church, everybody had those WWJD bracelets, and I didn't know what that meant, but you know, they had a cross around their neck. They really did. They said they were a Christian, but they sure didn't act like they were a Christian. Hey, listen, that they were at the same places on Friday night that I was, and Saturday night. They said dirty words that they didn't need to say. Christians ought not say dirty words. Thank you. Should have gotten a hallelujah, Mr. White. So there were those who refused to believe in Jesus, and there were doubters. But there was another group, the smallest group, that was there. And guys, listen to me. Men, I want y'all to pay attention, because the person I'm getting ready to talk about is not a man. The person I'm getting ready to talk about, you need to settle down, was a woman. And I need to preach this morning for my wife and for Miss Desi, because I've been picking on the women on Sunday night. Those of y'all who've missed our Genesis study, you know, Eve did. It was all Eve's fault. We're not in paradise right now. But after that debacle and we moved forward, you know, we faced all this. And did I mention at the beginning of this message, Jesus had told these people, Miss Desi, he told them. He told them. He told them exactly what was going to happen. He says, guys, listen, we're going into Jerusalem this last time, and I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, and I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be bloody. It was prophesied. He told them. He said, you know, look, I'm going to be crucified. This new form of public display of killing people. Brand new. And he told them on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Can I tell y'all something? Jesus, he's never tried to hide from us. He's never tried to hide the truth from us. Brother Kyle, listen, I wish Jesus would speak to me the way he speaks to you. I wish Jesus was as real to me as he is to you. I wish that he would talk to me the way you say he talks to you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you opened your Bible? Now again, I've been the pastor here for 5 years, and I've seen the way some of y'all treat your Bibles. You leave them laying all over the church, and when I see them, you know what I do? I open them up. I want to see if the pages have been opened. I want to see if there's any, you know, notes or you've outlined anything or you have them marked. I want to look at the front of your Bibles to see what you have written down, and I want to see. Your Bible tells you who you really are. You see, I want to contend with you this morning. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to hear from God. If you never pick your Bible up, if you never read the Word of God, listen, you're not going to hear what He has to say to you. I never hear from God. Well, open your Bible. Bible says it's alive. And it is alive. Church, let me just get to the point. There were three different types of people here that day. There were those who refused to believe, those who had to see to believe, and those who just believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. The smallest group. Tony, this is the smallest group. And it wasn't a man. Miss Desi, it was a woman. Not many. There might only be one. Now, she was there that day, but she wasn't there. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? She was there that day, but she wasn't there. Look at John chapter 12. Now, you may be sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, this preacher is crazy. Well, some of y'all thought that before I even started preaching. I didn't hear anything in Scripture about a group of people or an individual who had such belief. I surely see those who refuse to believe, and I see those who had to see to believe, but are there, those are just, that's it, right? No. John, what did I say? John chapter 12? John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was the one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with this fragrant oil, the fragrance of oil. Then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii?" I mean, this was almost a year's salary. "And given to the poor." He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." Did you get it? Brother Frank, did you get it? Brother Kyle, I didn't get it. On this day, there were three types of people there. Those who refused to believe, y'all are here this morning. Those that, listen, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Y'all are here this morning. And those who just believed. Those who just believed. Well, Brother Kyle, I didn't see. What shows you? Listen, scholars contend this. Jesus had told this story that he was going to die many times. This action that she was performing 6 days before the Passover was proof that she believed that Jesus, what Jesus said, was going to happen. She poured out everything that she had at the feet of Jesus, the most disgusting part of the body in the Middle East, to anoint his feet, to anoint his body for what she knew was going to take place. Well, how did she know and his apostles didn't know? She just believed, Tony. Hey, listen, everything that this Jesus has said has come true. Everything that he's done, he's done. Every miracle that he's done, he's done. He's told us that he was going to be beaten. He's told us that he was going to die. He told us that he was going to be raised on the third day. I believe it. I'm going to anoint him right now before any of this takes place. Listen, church, she wasn't there on resurrection morning. She wasn't at the tomb. Listen, she was already at the resurrection table. She was already there. She was glorifying God. She was raising her hands. She was lifting her voice on this day. Where are those believers? Why is it that people refuse to believe in Jesus after all that he's done? After all the evidence. And listen, there's a movie coming out. It's based on Lee Strobel's movie, A Case for Christ. I encourage all of you to read the book. But you can get it at Lifeway, Steve. Y'all have it on file, don't you? Listen, get the book, but watch the movie. It's absolutely amazing. How much more evidence are you going to have to see to prove that Jesus was who he said he was? There are those of you who are here that are, you know, I want to see just a little bit more. So did the Pharisees. They just wanted to see one more miracle. And then you have those who would just believe. Church, again, listen, there are three types of people in here this morning. As there were on the first day of the resurrection. Those who refuse to believe, those who need to see proof, and those who just believe. Let me ask you a question. Which one of the three are you? You're one of them. Which one are you this morning? right now, we're going to give an invitation. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you come down? What a great day to accept Jesus. Listen, I've been praying for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, please let somebody accept you as their personal Savior. Come down during the invitation. I'll show you what God's Word says every person must do to be born again. Secondly, if you're this person who, listen, I've got to see to believe, we all just stood up that we've been radically changed through the power of Jesus. Not our own power. Jesus changed us. There's your evidence. Won't you come this morning and surrender your life to Jesus? Those of you who were raised in church and gotten away, won't you come down and spend some time with Jesus during the invitation? All throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is saying, he's saying, return to me. Return to me. This morning, I want to ask you, will you return to Him? There might be somebody in this room this morning. You're going to be like Mary. Hey, listen, brother, I'm just going to believe. I've had enough of this world. I've had enough of this culture. I've had enough doing things my way. This morning, I'm going to do things Jesus' way. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to come during the invitation. I'm just going to believe in Jesus. Will you come? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you did, Lord, for us many years ago and what you continue to do for us every day, because every day is Resurrection Day, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move in a mighty way during this invitation. You bring us to our knees where we rightly deserve to be, worshiping you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?